of Yashima is a free online novel that you can read right now at taleofyashima.com. Tale of Yashima, Chapter 1. So, we need to do something with her.
What do you mean, do something with her?
The her in question was Bito Wayane, heir of the neighboring Bito clan and hostage of the Yashiro for the last 14 months. She was captured over a year prior in the hopes of forcing her father to abandon his alliance with the Kuroda, a clan who had been increasingly threatening Yashiro lands. However, despite Ayane being his firstborn and heir to his lands, Bito Noboru had refused to betray his allies and called the Yashiro on their bluff.
Go ahead, kill my daughter.
That will only strengthen our alliance with the Kuroda and prove our loyalty to them. All you will do is bring the wrath of both clans down upon you. And so she remained, a guest slash hostage in Yashiro lands. Nobody quite sure what to do with her.
We should kill her.
Yashiro Ryobe, current head of the Yashiro clan and getting on in years.
We can't kill her, father. We don't need the trouble that's going to bring.
Yashiro So, Ryobe's only living son and heir and most trusted advisor.
Trouble? What trouble? You mean the Kuroda ransacking our villages to the south? The Bito raids on our supply lines in the east? Or the Wada pushing down on us from the north? Those troubles?
Father, if you kill Ayane, that's just going to bring the full forces of both the Kuroda and Bito upon us at once. We can't hold off both clans while we're still trying to deal with the Wada in the north. That's suicide.
Bah! They're already raiding our lands as it is. What difference would it make?
So placed a black stone on the go board before him, capturing one of his father's chains. His father was skilled in battle and an intelligent warrior, but endless years of war with other clans was taking its toll on him. He was getting older, less patient, and more aggressive. The difference is that we're already spread thin enough as it is. We can handle their raids, father, but we can't handle a full-scale war on all sides.
Ryobe took a sip of his tea, contemplating. He placed a white stone on the board, seemingly ambivalent to the large territory he had just lost to his son.
Well, what do you suggest then, son? They haven't even made any attempts at getting her back. Bito has other children. He can just as easily make one of them the next in line. All she's doing is consuming our food, drinking our water, learning from our tutors, taking up space. When Bito Noboru had refused the Yashiro's demands, nobody had any idea what to do with Ayane. She was too important to kill, so they treated her as somewhat of a forced guest. She lived, trained, ate, and studied with So like his own little sister, and he had grown fond of her. Ayane has lived here for over a year now, So began, placing another black stone on the board to cut off one of his father's chains. In that time she has been treated honorably, as one of our own.
Ryobe nodded, taking another sip of tea.
We have proven ourselves to be more than hospitable. We cannot be faulted by the other clans for our treatment of this important hostage.
Get to the point, son.
The point, father, is that as long as she remains with us, and as long as we treat her well, the more the other clans will see that we stand by our word. We are not savages like others would suggest we are. We are honorable. We treat those captured with dignity and respect. And we do not discard when something appears to have lost its usefulness.
Ryobe pondered his son's words. There was nowhere left for him to go on the board.
So had won.
And if all else fails, we can still use her as a bargaining chip in the future. If not with the Bito directly, then with the other clans. There is undoubtedly no shortage of takers who would appreciate access to the Bito heir.
Ryobe smiled.
So knew that would convince him. He cared a little less about honor and what others thought of them than So himself did. But having a hostage that may still prove useful in future negotiations, well, that was something he couldn't pass up. Surely that's worth 3 meals a day and a bed in one of our many guest rooms. The men stood up, and Yobe grabbed his much larger son by the shoulder, smiling. So looked down at the man, who had always seemed so much larger than life to him, and put a hand on his. He looked so much smaller now, weaker, more fragile. "We'll keep her a while longer," he agreed. "I'd also like you to keep an eye on her. Learn what you can about what she knows, what she suspects, what she expects. There has to be some useful information left in her yet." "Yes, father." The game forgotten, Ryobe walked over to the window and stared outside. Beyond the mountains to the north stood the Wada clan, led by Wada Kuniaki. Kuniaki had started out as a simple oil merchant, or so the story had gone, and fought his way to the top, personally killing the former daimyo of Bijo province and taking over his lands. Now he was pressing south through Yashiro territory, hoping to ride the wave of victory before anyone realized what was happening and could mount a defense. "I'm sending you north to deal with the Wada forces," Ryobe said from the window. So was surprised at his father's sudden words, but lowered his head in thanks. "Yes, father." "Choose your men, however many you think you may need." "Yes, father." Ryobe turned around. "I want him destroyed." "Yes, father." This was the first time Ryobe was sending him out to battle alone. He'd taken part in many battles, and even a few smaller campaigns, but always at his father's side, never alone. "We need to send a message. Do you understand? This upstart thinks that just because he got lucky and defeated that useless, decrepit old Saito, that he can now come and take our lands out from under our noses? Well, he's got another thing coming. I'm taking your sister to the Itami. I want you to deal with this before I return." It was unspoken. "This is your test." The Wada would be expecting the Yashiro to be busy with the Kuroda and Bito forces, and his sister Yuki's upcoming wedding to Itami Motoki, son of a neighboring daimyo. A successful surprise attack directly against their army should be more than enough to discourage them for a while, if not destroy them outright. They were still a small clan, but they sat on important lands close to the capital. Even if the Yashiro waited them out, another clan would attack and they would lose the advantage. It would be a small yet important battle. "I'll take care of it, father." "I know you will. Show them what we Yashiro are made of. Even beset from all sides, we will not fall. Will not fail. Remind them of why the Yashiro are amongst the most feared clans in all of Yashima."
"So, how are you feeling?" Yuki looked up from the small tree she was pruning, a smile spreading across her face when she saw who was addressing her.
"Good evening, brother. I'm fine. Why do you ask?"
So crossed his hands behind his back as he walked past Yuki's collection of bonsai. They were beautiful, each more intricate than the last. If you followed them from first to last, you could see the improvement Yuki had made over the years. They went from plain trees in a bed of rocks to intricate settings, miniature gardens where multiple trees grew in the exact size and direction that Yuki commanded them to. It was not something he had a skill for, but the works his sister created were gorgeous. He would never see her create them again. Not here, anyway. "You're leaving tomorrow," he said, as though that answered her question entirely. She smiled. He would miss that smile. Neither of them had known their mother. She died giving birth to Yuki. So appreciated and respected his father, but they had never been close.
They had no other family. No uncles, no aunts, no cousins. Technically, they were the branch family of a long disowned prince many hundreds of years prior. But throughout various centuries and wars, their father was the only member of the family left. Thus, So and Yuki had grown up with only each other. Now she was leaving to get married. "I am leaving tomorrow," she replied, turning back to the tree before her. "Believe it or not, I'm aware of that." So sat down beside her and crossed his legs. She was smiling. "Are you happy?" he asked outright. "If you're not..." "I'm happy," she cut him off. "Motoki seems like a lovely young man." Itami Motoki, daimyo in all but name of the neighboring Konoe province. His father, the current daimyo, was on his deathbed, and his son still unmarried. The Itami held a small but vital area of land almost surrounding the capital. Anyone coming from the north or west needed to go through the Itami first, and this included the Wada. Ryobe had offered Yuki's hand in marriage in exchange for an alliance with the Itami, and they had agreed. She was a beautiful, refined, and intelligent young woman whose lineage could be traced back to the emperors of old. Of course they had agreed. "I'm going to miss you." "I'm going to miss you too, brother." "If you're ever unhappy, if he or anyone ever does anything that..." Yuki placed a hand on his and he stopped. "So..." She so rarely called him that. It was always brother. "So" was reserved for when he'd done something to displease her, or she needed to tell him something of great importance. It was scary when she called him so. He didn't like it. When they were younger, perhaps only 10 or 11 years old, So had gone hunting in a nearby river for a kappa the local kids had been gossiping about. He went alone, and although he didn't find the kappa, he did get lost for 3 days before finally finding his way home, extremely hungry and dirty and without his prize. His sister greeted him with a slap and a single word, "So," before she stormed back inside, tears running down her cheeks. The look of fear and worry on her face broke his heart. 3 years later, So found and defeated the kappa. He gave the shell to his sister as a gift and an apology, and with a promise that he would never again go and do anything so risky or dangerous without consulting her first. He had never broken that promise and didn't intend to start now. "Father's sending me to deal with the Wada," he said finally. "I won't be able to travel with you." The words broke his heart as they left his mouth, but Yuki showed no sign of emotion. She simply continued pruning her tree. "It's okay, brother, really." She cut off another branch and put the clippers down to look at him. "I'm not going away forever. I'm just going to be in the next province over." She smiled and turned so she could look at So better. "We both know I can't stay here forever. I have to get married at some point, and Motoki is a good man." So nodded. It was all he could do. The Itami are a strong clan, and they're allied with many other strong clans, now including our own. "I'll be safe. Don't worry. Go and handle the Wada. Make these lands even safer for both of us, okay?" It was what he needed to hear. Ever since they were children, Yuki had always known exactly not what he wanted, but what he needed to hear. "And once you've done that, I think it's time we found you a wife. I always wanted a sister." She was smiling again. "What? I'm not good enough for you?" You're too tall and smelly, and don't look half as good in my dresses." My bad. Pink never really was my color either." They both gave a small laugh. The reality was settling in. "I'll come and see you again before I leave," So said. I promise. Yuki grabbed the tree she was pruning and handed it to So. Here, this is for you. I think it's my finest bonsai to date. Wouldn't you agree? He did. It was exquisite. She had been working on this particular one for quite some time. It seemed somewhat familiar. Then he realized. It was the exact same shape and size of the tree they had often climbed as children, hidden deep in the forest near the castle. The area had been their secret, the place they escaped to when they didn't want to be found, the place they went to get away from their father. It was the largest tree in the woods, ancient and crooked, but thick and sturdy. They spent many years climbing it, playing around it, relaxing by it. She had recreated it exactly. How? It's beautiful. It was all he could say, but her smile showed that she understood. Now go on, get. I need to get ready for bed, and surely you have better things to be doing than hanging around here all night. Yuki gave him a kiss on the cheek and shoved both So and the bonsai out. Good night, Yuki. Good night, brother. You know, that almost looks like a 5-year-old wrote it. Ayane looked up from her calligraphy at the sound of So's voice. Almost. A 5-year-old would have been neater. So smiled and ducked under the paper ball that flew over his head. If I'm to take cultural lessons from you, I might as well take etiquette lessons from a pig. The pig might have a thing or two to teach you. Are you here because you're bored, or are there other reasons? So sat next to Ayane as she took out a fresh scroll and began a new piece. They were the characters for courage. He put the bonsai tree that Yuki had given him on the table. There was one more thing he had to do before retiring for the night. Father's asked me to go north and deal with the Wada. Congratulations. I want you to come with me. Ayane's brush stopped mid-stroke and she looked up at him. You want what? I'd like your assistance. Ayane's eyebrows furrowed. I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand. I haven't even been allowed to leave the castle grounds for the last year now, and you want me to go into battle with you? Put simply, yes. And your father is okay with this? It's my battle. I decide. Ayane pinched between her eyes in pain and confusion. I don't think this is the best idea, So. So picked up his own piece of paper and brush. He began writing characters down from memory, swift and accurate. It was one of his favorite sayings, Ichigo Ichie. Together, the four characters conveyed a once-in-a-lifetime chance or opportunity. It was a concept he felt strongly about. I respectfully disagree, and while I won't force you to come along, I highly encourage you to assist me in this matter. Even to his own critical eye, the characters were beautiful, although he could also see all the mistakes. This stroke was too long, this one too short. This hook wasn't precise enough, and this stroke too thick. Overall, the design was beautiful, but upon closer inspection, it was full of tiny flaws. What exactly do you want me to do? I won't ask you to fight for me. I'm not that stupid. So smiled, but Ayane didn't return the gesture. But you have an intelligent mind. You have a way of seeing things that other people don't. These are not your lands, not your people. I know that. I'd like to think that, despite the circumstances, your stay with us has been... He tried to find a suitable word. Pleasant. You mean the part where I was abducted and used as ransom against my own father, and held captive for over a year when he refused to comply with your demands? That stay. So's face twitched, but she wasn't wrong. Yes, he replied. Ayane sighed and put the brush down. What makes you think that, if I do join you, I won't just find a way to escape back to my family. I'm fully aware that you may try to leave. I know that if I were in your place, I'd try to do the same. I certainly wouldn't blame you for trying. Just like I hope you wouldn't blame me for trying to stop you, whatever it took. So and Ayane had grown close over the last year, like a real brother and sister, despite their circumstances. He truly wanted her help during the upcoming battle, but at the same time he understood the risk of potentially losing her as a valuable hostage. It was a difficult situation, perhaps more so for him than her, but leading was all about dealing with difficult situations to the best of one's ability. Nobody ever achieved great things by sitting back and hoping for the best. All right, she finally replied. I can't guarantee how useful I'll be, but I'll go. So smiled. Excellent. We're leaving in a few days. What do you know about the Wada? I thought the lands north of here were controlled by the Saito clan. Until recently they were, So confirmed. They were defeated in battle by a man named Wada Kuniaki, supposedly a former oil merchant. He managed to gather enough men around him to defeat the Saito and then killed off all who didn't flee or surrender. After securing Daisen Castle, he turned his attentions towards us. He's been raiding our northern towns and villages for the last few months now. Perhaps in his post-victory euphoria he sees us as an easy target, or perhaps he just wants our lands for his own as well. It doesn't matter. The point is, he may have defeated the Saito, but he's still inexperienced. And now weakened from the takeover. He's also unaware that we're coming. Ayane nodded. Has he made alliances with any other clans yet? So shook his head. Not that we've heard of. Since defeating the Saito, he's been consolidating his power and hunting down those who managed to escape. If the attacks on our lands are anything to go by, it would appear he's now finished with that and starting to look elsewhere. And nobody else has bothered to attack them yet? Again, not that we know of. Saito was not well loved. His loss is not going to be missed by the majority of the other clans. On the contrary, most probably feel like Wada did them a favor. What? Saito was never a direct problem for us, although we had heard about his cruelties. The Wada may be leading attacks into your lands now, but in the eyes of the other clans, they've saved them the time and trouble of dealing with yet another tyrant. Are you absolutely certain that no other clans have moved to make alliances with them yet? It's far easier to make a new friend than defeat an old enemy. She was right. It would save the other clans a lot of time, people, and resources to just ally with the Wada for the time being, while they tried to maintain control of currently unruly lands. Yet they couldn't just sit by and wait to see what happened while they continued to move into Yashiro lands. So stood up. We move out in a few days. Be ready. Don't want to wait to find out what happens next? Head over to taleofyashima.com for new installments posted every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can also join our Patreon for early access to chapters before they're released to the public, and exclusive bonus stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to taleofyashima.com now.